'cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself.
Yes, it does. No, you won't. You aren't the one. This song is self-centered. No, you're not. Blowing up your ego. Guys, this song is about me and Tom, not you. Don't get too happy about it. You're good, but you're not. You aren't the best around. It's only Tom and I. Hi, this is the Cap Figure Podcast, episode number 63. My name is Ryan DiPaolo. Who are you?
My name is Tom McLaughlin.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome.
No, it's your show, half. We are going to talk about lots of stuff. Sorry, it's been a while since we've recorded, but I've been in a DraftKings wormhole, and Tom has been in the bad field in Chicago, right?
Have we talked since I've been back from the White Sox?
No, I don't think so, which is crazy. So we'll do that. Tom will give his review of the trashy park. The Guaranteed Rate Field is what it's named, so that's all you need to know about the part of the city it's in.
Correct.
Then we'll discuss the AL wildcard race, which is wild right now. Oh my God. New York Post should pay me to write headlines for them.
Wow.
There's like seven teams within three games. But Tom, I don't know if you're prepared or not. Every week that I doubt you, you already are. Tell me some players who've worn or wear number 63.
Dog, I got you. So again, with the trend, it keeps getting worse. Are the best player, or the player to wear the most number of years, this is 63, is Rafael Betancourt.
No,
he wore it 12 years. He had a WAR of 14.24. Only other player to wear it more than 10 years is Kevin Gregg with 2 G's.
Old Betancourt, they called him. He got banned with Pete Rose because he was taking Pete Rose's bets.
Betancourt.
I'll make up trivia every week. Any current players?
So Victor Martinez and Dexter Fowler each wore it for 1 year, presumably when they got called up, and then when they realized they were legit, they gave them another number. And then another player, Ryan Madsen, who's the reliever. I think he's on the Nationals now.
Yeah. All right. So you bring up Victor Martinez, and that will be something that I didn't tease that we need to discuss. So We rewatched all the highlights from the brawl at the Yankees-Tigers game last week, or what was it?
Yeah, it was
Thursday.
Last week.
So I'll recap quickly for people listening what happened, and then I want to ask your opinion on a couple things. But here's how it went. Gary Sanchez, the Yankees catcher, was having a great series, and he hit a home run in his first at-bat against Mike Pelfrey, the Detroit Tigers pitcher. In his next at-bat, Fulmer. I mixed them up
Michael
for no
Fulmer.
Reason. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Interrupt me sooner. Looking like a schmuck over here. Michael Fulmer hits him in Sanchez's second at bat, and Gary takes his base, but it looks to the Yankees like you are playing well, so I'm just going to hit you to intimidate you or try to mess you up, right? Or like a wah. And so after that, then next is what's his name? Throws
Tommy Canley.
Tommy Canley throws at Miguel Cabrera. He throws behind him, and it doesn't hit him, and he's instantly thrown out, right? And
yes.
Joe Girardi is pissed. He comes out yelling, and there's a ruckus, and he's thrown out. And then that sort of settles down, but then Miguel Cabrera and Austin Romine, who's the Yankees catcher, Gary Sanchez was DHing that day, but start getting into it, and it ends up with Miggy swinging at him, and they both get ejected from the game. Miggy will end up getting the longest suspension, Miguel Cabrera, of anyone in this for 7 games. But they're both thrown out. Then now Dellin Betances, the Yankees reliever, throws at James McCann, Detroit's catcher, but he hits him in the head.
Yeah.
And it was horrible, and he's thrown out, and then he's arguing that it slipped away and all this stuff. And then, finally, Alex Wilson hits Todd Frazier, and then there's a bench clearing again. Obviously, the bench is cleared the first time when Miguel Cabrera and Austin Romine fought. So, a bunch of people got suspended, but Miguel Cabrera with 7 games was the longest. Joe Girardi's pissed after the game. What's your first thought? My first thought, and I want you to answer this specifically, Joe Girardi complained that the refs did a bad job by, with no warnings given, throwing out Kane Lee after he didn't even hit Miguel Cabrera. He threw behind him. I think Girardi's an idiot, and the refs should just throw people out as soon as it starts to happen.
Yeah, I mean, my first reaction is, like, this is – it's terrible news because now we're losing a couple of our really important players. As a Yankee fan, we're losing a lot of important players for the stretch run over something that – it's just ridiculous. Like, I can't even put into words how stupid it is that these players fight like this.
Do you agree with Girardi's sentiment specifically, though? Like, do you think it's ever a legitimate gripe to say, well, there was no warning, how could you throw him out? I mean, think that's so crazy, given the context.
Stupid, because, like, yes, there was no warning issued, but if you saw what happened the last inning, it was obvious that there was, like, you know,
this was starting
boiling blood. And look, Tommy Canely, he didn't hit Miguel Cabrera, but it's almost even worse because he missed by that much more. It's very obvious he was trying to hit him. You know what you're going to do in that situation.
What do you mean you know what you're going to do in that situation?
Like, he knew he was going to throw at Miggy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Miggy said he was prepared for that, and that's not what his fight was about with Austin Romine, the Yankees catcher. Apparently that fight was – so to be clear – that was the same at bat, like the same at bat for Miguel Cabrera. He gets it thrown behind him. That pitcher gets thrown out. And then when the new pitcher's coming
Chapman
in the game,
comes in,
Chapman,
yeah.
When everything settles down, he starts arguing with the Yankees catcher, and they're saying, chill out, brah. And he's like, no, you chill out, brah. And then Miguel Cabrera swings at him. I think, yeah, Joe Girardi is so being so childish. Like, well, they did it, you know, like just being like, how could they throw us out? But he's so blinded by trying to win that I sort of can see why he's all upset about the refs. But yeah, point the finger at the culture of baseball. Point the finger at allowing any of your players to retaliate. Point the finger at, like, how could you – you are facilitating guys throwing at guys. It doesn't matter who started it. It's like, let's not be little kids. It's like, it needs to end at some point.
You know, I was annoyed when I heard – like, I think Girardi was, like, blaming this whole event on the fact that they lost the game. If you're going to throw at Miguel Cabrera in that next inning – why do you bring in one of your really good relievers to do it?
Yeah. I mean,
because then you know he's going to get tossed. Like, why don't you bring
Chad Green? Maybe that's why he was so upset, because he didn't think he'd get tossed. He thought he could put him in the spot he wanted to. He could hit a guy and still get out of the inning or something. I don't know. Maybe that's why he was so upset. You're right. But your point is incorrect if Girardi's being honest that he had no clue he would get thrown out. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're saying he knew he'd throw at him, but he thought he would stay in the game. But another aspect of this was Dellin Betances hit a guy in the fucking head. I know iTunes will give us explicit soon. Don't worry about it. We'll get enough listeners, and we'll worry about it. But he hit him. He could end his career. James McCann was fine, but Betances cannot react like he was making a motion like as if he's throwing a slider high, like as if to say, like, it slipped. It's like, shut the fuck up. You were throwing at him, and you lost control, and that's why you throwing at guys is no bueno, because you can't control. If you can't throw a strike every time you want to, how do you expect to aim at the guy's hip or some nonsense like that? Could end a guy's career. You know, that morning there was a piece on a guy who played for the Cubs. He got in one at-bat.
Yeah, I know
and
what you're talking about.
His career was over. He got hit in the head in his only at-bat in the majors, and then years later there was a campaign for him in Miami, and the Marlins gave him another major league at-bat, and it was a cool story. But
the way to end all of this nonsense is these suspensions, you take away the paychecks in accordance with them. Because right now these players get suspended, it hurts the team, but they still get paid for those games.
Well, yeah, but I think that's a harder route, because you have to negotiate with the players' union. You know, I think within the game, I think the ref, after one guy gets hit, no matter how mistaken, the next guy who gets hit, you throw him out. I think the refs, Joe Girardi, I think couldn't be more wrong. I think that is how you handle it. I guess it sort of backfired in this case, or tensions were just so high. Do you think that throwing a guy out immediately, like that could have made it worse potentially, or you think it was just gonna escalate naturally no matter what? Like, once you hit a guy for hitting a home run, that's a big discretion. That's a big no-no. You deserve beef for that.
I think that it fired up the Yankees players more, so in that sense, I do think it possibly did escalate it.
But if that's the new normal, it'll get better.
But they should just do that.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to end this. So childish. Everyone agrees. All right. So That's our hot takes. But I can't believe James McCann was okay. And I can't believe Betances. They all lied after. Betances was like, I wasn't trying to hit him. Just got away from me. I never tried to hit someone in the head. Of course, he wasn't trying to hit him in the head. And then, what's his name? The Fulmer was like, I would never throw at a guy just for hitting a home run off me. It's like, okay, so what? You throw it at him if he hit a home run off you and also didn't jog the way you want?
Yeah.
Like
you
said, just for hitting a home run. All right, so, yo, this AL wild card, you see this, dude? It's pretty wild. Answer me.
Shazing.
Answer me.
Wild.
Did you see it?
I did.
Okay.
I got it right here.
All right, so there are 7 teams within 3 games of the second spot, and we're going to go on these teams and discuss who we think has the best chance or not. Right now, the Yankees are sitting in the first wild card spot at 70-60. They're 3 games up. In the second wild card spot, it's Minnesota, and they are 1 game up on the Angels. And so it goes. Minnesota's in. Then Angels, Baltimore, Seattle Mariners, Tampa Bay Rays, the Kansas City Royals, and the Texas Rangers are all within 3 games, and they all have a chance, theoretically. We'll go through one by one, I guess, and the first 3 teams, I guess, I don't know what I was going to say. But Minnesota, they like started out really good, then they fell off sort of. Last year, they had a really way exceeded expectation season. And again, this year, this recent play is amazing. They're 17-10 in August, I think. What? Yeah. How are they good? What, don't they suck? What's good?
Well, they were sellers at the deadline. Like, they acquired Jaime Garcia, and then they traded him to the Yankees. I mean, the big thing, as we were speaking about, is Byron Buxton has finally put it all together and is hitting really well.
Well, you think that's why they're winning more games now?
I do think so.
I think it's Bartolo Colon, and I don't think it's fair for you to not mention him first. I'm trolling. Okay. He sucks. Go on.
Yeah, Buxton has really been unbelievable. He's 3rd overall now in WAR among center fielders in the major leagues.
For the whole season?
Whole season.
Oh, wow.
His OPS is finally over 700, so he's
the person
I would point to that has had the largest impact. But I think it really can't be understated. Irvin Santana this year he's my pick for bounce back player of the year or comeback player, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
He's really been pitching like an ace this year.
He's having a great year. And Jose Berrios is really good too, right?
Exactly.
He's their number 2 pitcher.
Yeah. And
he's having a really good year.
Was a top prospect. He struggled last year, but he's finally put it all together. You know, the rest of the team, not that exciting. Miguel Sano is actually on the DL and they're still continuing to win. But you know, that being said, like, if Buxton remains as hot as he is, I would say they're in first place now, but I would peg them as the team to beat because of the 1-2 punch at the top of their rotation.
So chalky. So, because last time it was the Angels, I don't know, whatever. I'm just making fun of you. All right, so what about the Angels?
I never picked the Angels to make the wild card.
Yeah, that wasn't fair of me to say. I just saw a text from my boss, and then I wanted to troll you all at once, and I got confused and mistrolled you.
There's no way I ever picked the Angels
for anything.
You never did.
You didn't. I'm sorry. So the Angels, we sort of did talk about them, though, last week, that we couldn't figure out where their winning was coming from. They're in second place amongst these teams, and I heard this thing that I'll share, but that they're really good in one-run games, and that because, and so there's this slight, right, that winning one-run games, because it's the opposite of run differential, implies that a team is getting lucky if they're winning one-run games. That's sort of, they're not as good as their record may indicate, right?
Correct.
And then again, there's this counterpoint that was made, and it was interesting to me and probably has some truth to it, that there is a certain skill in one-run games if your team is built that way, which they are, right? Which is really good defense. They have the best defensive shortstop in the league, a great center fielder, right? And base running, and they don't strike out is the number one thing, which everyone, including Joey Straub, shouted out before the season, he knew. That plays well in one-run games, right?
Correct.
Is there any other reason, though, why they're here or why they could be getting in this wild card spot, in your opinion? You just said
Andrelton Simmons and Mike Trout.
But you're not making that case. You hate them.
I would say out of all of these teams, even though they're only 1 game back, I'd say they're easily the worst team out of all 7. I still believe that, you know, that team, like, you have the best player in the game, and then Simmons is playing at an elite level. But, like, all right, let's go through their rotation right now. They have three of their expected best starting pitchers at the beginning of the year are currently on the DL. Garrett Richards, Alex Meyer, and J.C. Ramirez. Right now, their starting pitchers are Ricky Nolasco, Tyler Skaggs, Andrew Heaney, Patrick Bridwell, and Tyler Scribner.
That sounds like a playoff rotation to me. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm being sarcastic.
Have you heard of any of those guys?
Well, only because of Daily Fantasy and a couple of days. But no, I hadn't heard of any of them. Only because they're, like, actually a couple days, Heaney and Skaggs were, like, the cheap guy to pair with your expensive guy in DraftKings. But, yeah, no, they're the worst.
Let's go with their XFIP, too. So, out of those five guys, none of them have an XFIP, so, like, expected fielding and independent pitching, which you can correlate to what you think of with ERA. None of them have a sub 4.5 XFIP. So, if you think about it, if you have a rotation of five guys, all of them have an ERA close to five. I mean, how is that going to work out for you?
Well, I guess because of their one-run game ability and they're not striking out, it seems that Vegas likes them, of these teams, to go all the way, right? To win, well, to go to the World Series. These are the American League odds. They are tied, of the teams we're discussing, at plus 1,500 with the Mariners as the favorites to win the AL of these seven teams we're going to discuss.
Okay.
The Royals and who are next. No. Well, we'll do the Royals next. And the Twins, who we discussed, are plus 2,000 next. And then after that. So the Royals are the next team. We also have talked about them a little bit. They're a weird team, man, because they started out horrible, like as bad as expected, a little bit worse. Before the season, their over under was 76 wins. They're gonna go past that, but their offense was like by far the worst in baseball, remember, at the start.
Yeah.
And then but Hosmer was having a horrible start. He's turned it around. Mike Moustakas is having a decent season. Lorenzo Cain is good. Mike Moustakas is having a breakout year.
Season,
yeah, I don't want to be unfair. Danny Duffy, their rotation, you know, is pretty good. So I sort of, like, even though I always hate the Royals, and maybe because of I'm a Mets fan and they rip my heart out, but I just think they could have the Houston Astros roster and they would miss the playoffs because of Ned Yost. That's my hot take. What do you think about them? Do you like them? You gotta like one of these teams to make it.
Yeah, I think three games, even though it puts them within spitting distance, I think that to me is just too much for them to overcome. Their rotation, you know, Danny Duffy, yes, he's not an ace, but he's a very quality pitcher, but he's currently on the DL. He was just placed on the DL.
Yeah,
he's going to miss at least one start. And their bullpen, which has historically been the strong point of their team, is not this year. They have Kelvin Herrera and then Soria, but there's really not anybody else out there that you could point to that can lock down an inning for you. So,
well, how about who do you like better? They think the Vegas thinks that they have the same odds as the Minnesota Twins, who are three games up right now to win the AL. Of those two teams, who would you pick?
I would pick Minnesota
just because of the game advantage.
I would say even maybe just if they had the same record, I think I still like Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the Royals better, actually, which is weird to say. All right, so then next in this odds list would be the Orioles at plus 2,500. But they're only 1.5 games out. They're behind the Angels. The Orioles have been in this purgatory for the last couple years. Even though they made the playoffs, they lost on the road in the wild card game last year. Remember, Zach Britton, their best pitcher, didn't get in the game because they were waiting for a save situation, even though Buck is a great manager. Then 2 years ago, they made the playoffs also, and I forget who they lost to. But they lost to the Royals in the ALCS. So, you know, we knew they're in this purgatory. We knew probably before the season that they would be in this spot, like a couple games out of the wild card, and it was a question, are they going to go for it or not? What's good with them?
Yeah, so if you go back to the trade deadline, everybody was expecting them to be sellers. I was calling for them to trade Machado and Britton.
Yeah,
they didn't.
You thought maybe to the Cardinals.
And they actually have kind of doubled down. Like, they acquired Jeremy Hellickson and Tim Beckham, so they made buyers' moves.
Tim Beckham, who was hitting leadoff and playing as their shortstop, and he's been great since they acquired him. Yeah, he's been great.
Machado has turned his season around in the past, what is it, month?
Yeah, right after you and I traded for him. I gave him up to you and I gave Bellinger and Machado up for Corey Seager in a keeper league to keep Seager next year. Whatever, don't judge me. Shut up, go on.
I think the other thing you can really point to, which really shocked me, I thought something was wrong with it, was on their 40-man roster, they only have one player on the DL. And in today's, you know, today with the 10-day DL, all of these other teams, the Yankees have six guys on the DL. The Angels probably have eight guys on the DL. The Twins have six. Having only one player on the DL, I mean, that means a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really does.
So do you like them?
I do.
What is Tom's thoughts on them?
I do.
You like them the best?
I would put them right behind Minnesota. I think if the
But you just said you don't think Minnesota has a chance to win the wild card. You said you don't like them, I thought.
No, I said I like Minnesota. I don't like Kansas City.
Oh, I'm sorry. So right, your pick is Minnesota to win this spot so far.
Yeah, and then the team right after it would be Baltimore.
I very apologize. That's why I called you Mr. Chalk, bro, because you're all about that game advantage, which very much matters. It's like, you know, getting a head start in a race. You ain't probably going to win, dog. All right.
Baltimore's a really dangerous team. You have Machado, Britton. Hellickson's been pitching great.
Dude,
Gausman had a breakout year.
Yeah, dude. When
Chris
Trumbo
Davis,
is hitting home run. Yeah, exactly.
Jones.
Chris Davis, Adam Jones, and Trumbo are all boomer bust home run guys capable
Jonathan
of like
Scope
blowing
breakout
up. Scope
year.
Is having, yeah, we didn't even mention him. I mean, their offense among of these teams is definitely the best of the wild card potential teams. They're the biggest difference to the game. Yeah, but they're probably the best offense of these teams in DAL. But the offense is the team you hate, right? You be hating on the Mariners.
I am. I do be hating
on
them.
I am be hating on the Mariners.
I am be hating.
Well, they're good. They're
Are they?
Vegas likes them. I think they're cute because I like Nelly and Robinson Cano and them and such. But James Paxton is hurt.
Yeah.
He's going to be out for a couple more weeks until maybe September. And Felix Hernandez is out. So I don't like them. But I like the city. You know, I want to like them. And Cano is like one of my favorite players. I don't know. Where do you put them in this? Do you think they're your least favorite or second least favorite? Or they are two games out right now.
My least favorite is
500.
Is the Angels. I would put Seattle as my second least favorite out of these group of seven teams.
That's funny because, like I said before, they are the favorite of these seven teams, tied with the Angels. Your two least favorite teams are tied for the two favorites to win the AL of these seven teams. Both of them, Vegas disagrees with you totally.
That's fair. I wonder if part of that has to do with market bias, based on people betting from those markets.
I don't think they can afford to do that. Maybe with the Yankees a little bit, but with Seattle and
Seattle's a huge market.
Yeah, but LA, the Angels, even though LA is a big market, the Angels aren't. Like that's not the reason. They can't afford to set a line wrong and then have sharp money take advantage of it. You know what I mean? Though I think long odds reflect how they actually predict it to be. But, you know, Vegas is wrong, bro, sometimes. So it's okay if you think you're smarter than Vegas. I won't take it personal. Why don't you like the Mariners? But also, wait. Part of this is odds to win the AL. So this doesn't necessarily mean odds to make the playoffs, which is what we're discussing. These are odds that you not only make the playoffs, but make a run. And so maybe it makes sense that the team who's getting James Paxton and Felix back while may be not that likely to make the playoffs, if are in, you could say they would do better. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that actually makes more sense now that I'm thinking about it. Seattle has a very high ceiling, but right now the reality is they don't have starting pitching. They don't have anyone even close to resembling a number one or two starter.
Well, today, but they have the best ace of any of these teams. If all these rosters are healthy and they're expected to get him back, he's the best pitcher on any of these teams, James Paxton, this year.
Correct, but, you know, when is he coming back?
Yeah, like maybe September. It's a torn pec, which is, I don't know.
That seems like a pretty... A serious injury.
A busted titty. Yeah. You need them titties to pitch. All right. Another crappy pitcher. No, I don't know why I said another crappy pitcher. Another good left-handy, but he's not as good this year, is Cole Hamels, who's now the ace of the Texas Rangers. After Mr. Yu Darvish went to the Dodgers, but Texas has played okay. They made a good comeback in recent months. You know, they're not playing that great lately, but they're three games out. I don't know. Do you like them at all? Why are they good? Why are they bad?
I do like them. They have the best run differential out of any of these teams.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, that is what it is. They were missing Beltre for most of the year. I think their offense is a lot different with him in the lineup.
Yeah.
Rougned Odor, who was a breakout player for them last year, has struggled a majority of the year. When Beltre came back, coincidentally, Odor has been on a tear.
Elvis Andrews is having a career year.
Correct.
And even, you know, Sin Choo Choo, their whole offense is clicking a lot of nights. Robinson Chirinos, who hits ninth a lot of days, has great games. He's capable. Their offense is good.
Joey Gallo's coming back from a concussion, I think, today or tomorrow.
And he's been playing well. He's the most extreme, like, of the movement.
Adam Dunn.
He's the logical conclusion, right? Like, I forget the term. He's the
three true outcome.
No, but what's the term for like the maximum thing of something? He is like the end game. He's the most you could theoretically push the fly ball, hit home runs, and don't worry about striking out guy.
Yeah, because he's a more home runs player. Than singles.
Yeah, he's insane. He's hitting like 200, but he contributes. But
I think Texas has the highest ceiling out of
and Mike Napoli's
teams.
Still good. Yeah, I did before the season. I bet the over on the Rangers wins on the year because of Yu Darvish. In large part, I thought he'd have a good year, and he did, but I was wrong about Cole Hamels and the rest of the team. And you bet under on the Mariners, so I guess it makes sense that you don't like the Mariners still, but you didn't like the Rangers bet because of the Astros in the division. And I guess... in part, that's why they don't have the wins, but they're still worse than we expected. I don't know.
Correct.
You think they have a higher ceiling than the Orioles? I thought you liked the Orioles.
Well,
because Cole Hamels, I guess, can be good. I don't know. I've never seen any of the Orioles starters be amazing like Cole Hamels has in a playoff run. Maybe that's stupid of me. Like,
I would say that their offenses, I would give a slight nod to the Orioles, but the Rangers have Tyson Ross, who... if he can put it together, we've seen he can be a front-end starter. So, you know, out of these teams, when you look at pitching staffs, Minnesota has the best front-end starters because you throw out kind of the back of the rotation when you're talking about playoffs. I guess we're talking
about
getting to playoffs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Texas is my... I would give them a slightly higher ceiling than Baltimore. But Baltimore, I would take over them because they have everybody healthy right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. All right. I don't know. I haven't said who I like the Mariners the best just for no reason because Vegas does, and I like James Paxton if he comes back, but that's stupid. This is my second favorite team is the Tampa Bay Ray. We didn't talk about them yet, right, dog?
We didn't.
So they have first their rotation's pretty sexy with Chris Archer, who's good, and Jake Odorizzi, who's good this year. You know, he's not consistent, and Alex Cobb, but
Blake Snell has had three quality starts in a row.
Bro, he's snelling.
If he figures it out, he can be a game changer.
Yeah,
like a top 10 overall prospect in the league.
Yeah. And besides that, Lucas Duda acquisition.
Acquisition.
When they acquired him, he'd be helping. So yeah, we were like, wait, I don't understand the plan for Logan Morrison, and he's been DHing, but he's been really good, man. And Logan Morrison, their offense has been pretty decent. Kevin Kiermaier is hitting bad. Steven Souza is having a good season. Wilson Ramos hits well. Like, poor Wilson Ramos with his injury and contract, but he's doing well. Like relative, their offense is good, man. I like the Rays right now. And we said this before when we were coming back from Cooperstown. It was about 2 weeks ago, looking at the odds to win the World Series. They were right in the sweet spot where you're like, yo, they could get hot and they're good. I guess this is sort of redundant. We're going over every team like schmoes and saying, oh, they could get hot, they could be good. So I guess we have to hate one of the teams or something. So you should probably say you hate the Rays.
I hate the Angels, and the Mariners are right behind them. The Angels I hate the most out of all of them. I cannot get behind this
Mike
team.
Trout,
I just
can't
don't
get behind the greatest player of our generation.
It still doesn't make sense to me. I understand they are good in one-run games, but to me, the pitching staff is horrendous.
All right, dog. Well, let me tell you this. Minnesota, your favorite, is the worst team, motherfucker, because Miguel Sano is a doo-doo butt, right? He fucking sucks. He's going to strike out. He's doo-doo. He can't play defense. He's DHing sometimes, but doesn't matter. Joe Mauer is a drug addict. No, I don't know. Whatever. Byron Buxton, good for him. That's cute. That's a nice season. But Irvin Santana doesn't strike out enough guys to keep up this rate of success, right? These are legitimate points now. And Brian Dozier is in a hot streak now. It's funny, in MLB The Show, they end up changing his overall rating every 3 months, every year,
right?
Because he'll kill it, and then like the end of last year and now recently, and look great and hit a bunch of home runs, and then he'll just fall off and strike out a bunch and hit 220 with no power. And he's their second-best offensive player behind Sano right now. You know, maybe Buxton right now, whatever you want to determine as right now. But really, I only like Berrios and sort of Joe Mauer. I don't know. They have a good left fielder. But, man, the Twins are whack. The Mariners, because of Cano, he's going to get it together. Nelson Cruz is going to I don't know, take steroids or something. I don't know what to tell you. I'm trying to come up with an angle, but I don't really have one. Oh, did you see Kyle Seager when they wore their nicknames? It was really
Corey's
funny.
Corey's brother.
Yeah, his nickname jersey was Corey's brother. That's funny that he's dissing himself that much. Like, he thinks he's that unknown. Were there any other funny nicknames you noticed when they did that, or stupid ones? Giancarlo Stanton was Big Boy 69. I thought that was a little inappropriate, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm surprised the MLB let him have that.
Who was Travis Shaw was like mayor of Ding Dong City.
Oh, that's a really long nickname. That's not that good.
Like, yeah.
I don't know what I would put. I think Kyle Seager making a joke of it is pretty cool. Just like Corey's brother. What would yours be, bro? You ever have a nickname?
McG.
T-Mac. What, in your frat in college?
Yeah, T-Mac is okay too. I don't know. What would I put? I don't know.
You put lasers, laser hit. I don't know. I might. Bart is the only nickname I got, because when I moved to Riverdale when I was in high school or middle school, the first kid I met was like, yo, this dude is like Bart. He got spiky hair and skateboard, and then it stuck. So that is a nickname I've had, but I don't know if I'd probably put on the back of my jersey, like, my ex-girlfriend's phone number, so everyone in the country could harass her.
Okay, that would work.
That'd be a good angle, right?
Yes.
You just say, like, oh, no, this is the number to donate to the Hurricane Relief Fund, and then baseball be like, oh, all right, fine. Do no oversight. I don't know.
I liked that whole thing. There were a lot of people. There were a lot of Yankees fans who were, like, upset because
it breaks their tradition.
But I'm all for it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I do like, on one hand, I do understand that. Not because, like, I agree with them, but because I do like about baseball that teams are different team to team. And so any cookie cutter stuff, in a way, is sort of against that, what we like about baseball. But shut up. It's cool for fun.
Yeah, it's a great
and it's
thing.
Way better of a gimmick than the NBA Hispanic Day when
Rockets.
Put L in front of the team name or loss, and it's like
Los Knicks.
We're gonna honor an entire group of people by putting L before the team name. Enjoy
L Heat.
At least this is fun for the sake of being fun. All right, yo. So we'll be back soon. You got something else? What do we miss, man?
I got nothing else for you, bro.
All right. Well, it's not for me. It's for the people. The people need you. I can hear you anytime. I could call you whenever. These people got to wait a whole week to hear your beautiful, luscious lips. No, your voice. That was a little fruity. Bye, Cap Figure Podcast.